Hey, what's up? It's Dr. Ward. Welcome to this episode of Into the Fix. So this week I'm not feeling very well. I think I got a bit of a head cold, so I'm not feeling very good. I didn't do much time preparing. So I thought I would just do this episode by telling you about something that happened to me recently and then sort of giving you my thoughts on that. So there's this weird thing that happens whenever somebody finds out that I'm a psychologist. You know, it usually goes something like this. Hey, what do you do for a living? I say, well, I'm a psychologist. And then the next thing is usually something along the lines of, oh, well, I really need to talk to you because of my ex-wife. Or, oh, I know somebody who should talk to you because they're really kind of screwed up or whatever it is, right? And that's it's really common. I made the mistake one time of telling somebody that I was a psychologist at the start of a three-hour flight. And I think I did a three-hour therapy session for free that day. So it happens a lot. Anyways, I say all that to say, the other day I was having lunch. I was talking to this lady just sort of casually, and it came up, what do you do for a living? I told her I was a psychologist. And then she starts telling me a story. She basically tells me a story about how she's seen more psychologists than she can count, basically over her lifetime. And that essentially she is the middle of three kids. This is an older lady, maybe in her, mid-60s, early 70s. But she was the middle of three kids, and that the oldest one was sort of the firstborn and got all kinds of accolades. The third one was the first and only male grandchild in the entire family, and so he got all kinds of attention, and she was kind of just stuck in the middle. So far, so normal as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I think there's always sort of in families, there's always sort of the chance that one person feels left out or neglected, and so that's kind of where she was. The problem for me wasn't sort of where she fell in the lot of the family or anything like that. The problem for me is sort of what came next, which was then she told me that she had been in and out of hospitals, she had been in and out of therapy offices, she had been in and out of churches, everywhere, trying to get help throughout her entire life to help her reconcile this belief that something was wrong with her. And so I should have just eaten my sandwich. Instead, I asked her why she thought something was wrong with her. And she basically told me that, you know, that when her brother's being treated great and her sister's being treated great, really the only kind of conclusion she can draw is that there's a reason why she's not being treated great. She just doesn't know what it is. And this is what happens a lot. To me, this is why the past is so dangerous for people. This is why childhood is so dangerous for people. It's not because, you know, we're going to be abused or something really tragic is going to happen. I think that can happen. But I think the most dangerous thing is that things are going to happen that occur in our life and that no one's going to be there to help us make sense of them. And so if something's happening and we don't have a way to make sense of it, I think we start walking through a minefield to try to explain to ourselves what's happening. But why does this happen? Why do people take situations from the past and turn them on themselves? And for me, it's sort of a three-part process. The first is that everybody, especially children, have a need to be safe. And so as a kid, I want to feel safe, right? If I'm not safe, then the world's a very dangerous place. One of the ways that people feel safety is through predictability, through knowing what's coming. If I know what's coming, then I can adjust accordingly. And the way that we get predictability, the way we are able to predict what's coming next is by understanding what's happening now. And so one of the things we need is safety. The way we get safety is by understanding our current situations and making sense of it. And then here we hit the third thing. And this is the part that's dangerous. The third part is that it's really hard for kids to blame adults for situations. As a child, I need to trust that the adults around me know what's happening. Because if the adults around me don't know what's happening, as a kid, I'm completely screwed. Because I have no other way to protect myself than to rely on the adults around me. And so what happens is when things are happening that I don't understand, it's really hard for me to say, well, my dad screwed this up or my mom screwed this up. Because if they screwed this up, they can screw anything else up. And if they screw anything else up, I'm screwed. And so what ends up happening is we try to look for ways to explain situations that absolve people from guilt, right? And so maybe my father's an angry person and he screams at me all the time. And so when I start looking at like, you know, why is this happening? The easiest answer is because my father's an asshole and he's yelling at me too much. But people don't really take that route. What ends up happening is they say, my father's yelling at me too much. It doesn't seem like he yells at everybody else, so there must be something wrong with me. And that, at its very core, is the problem that I would say brings 75% of the people into my therapy office. There's something from their past that they've resolved in a way that turns inward on them. And so then they've had this entire life, 50 years, 40 years, 60 years, whatever it is, trying to either disprove or remedy this thing that they've imposed on themselves. And so with the story I was telling you to start, the message she took is that, you know, when my brother's being treated great and when my sister's being treated great and I'm not, it must be because there's something about me that doesn't measure up to them. She was wrong. She was dead wrong. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. I don't think that she had anything to do with what was happening. I think that if we had moved the kids around into different places, if her and her sister had switched places, I think they would have had the exact same result. I think her sister would have been ignored. So I don't think it was her. I think it was the family dynamics, and I think it was the way the family showed their love and their affection. Sometimes it was more outward towards some people and more inward towards other people. But to me, the reason why this is important is because if I misunderstand what happened, right, if I blame myself for something from the past that wasn't my fault, I'm going to carry a lot of baggage throughout life that I don't need to be carrying. I'm going to be trying to understand things and trying to resolve issues that really aren't even mine to resolve. And we don't want to do that. What I don't want for anybody listening to this podcast is that you spend the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years trying to resolve an issue from your childhood that, quite honestly, you're not making sense of it the way it actually should be made sense of. So what's the takeaway? How do you actually begin questioning and resolving some of these issues from your past? And for me, it's sort of a three-part process. The first is, what is the messages that you're holding on to, right? When you go through your daily life, you know, when you go to encounter something, when you're going to make a decision, you're going to do something, and you start to push back on yourself. Hey, you know, I think I'm going to apply for a new job. And then the other voice starts in with, hey, well, you shouldn't do that because of, what's that other voice say? Because nobody else would hire you, because you're not that great of a person, whatever that is, whatever the negative messages that you hear, those are the messages you tend to be holding on to. And so the question for me is, what messages are you holding on to and where did those come from? I was talking to this person the other day and they told me that their biggest detriment, that, you know, the thing that holds them back is that they're lazy. But when I started asking them about the things they do, they didn't sound lazy. They sounded like they worked really hard, actually. But they worked really hard at things that weren't very productive. And so, you know, if you're holding on to a message like, I'm lazy, where is that coming from? You know, is that something somebody told you? Is that something you just deduced because other people seem to be working harder than you and you weren't, so that must mean you're lazy? Where'd that come from? And then the next part for me is, are there other ways to understand the past? If my brother was treated one way and my sister was treated one way and I was treated differently, is there another way to understand that? And I didn't get into this with this lady when we were having lunch for... But the truth is, maybe the answer is that she really was disliked by her parents. That could be possible, I guess. But there's probably a more honest or a more likely answer. And it's probably something along the lines of, you know, that her parents, you know, didn't really think about how they were interacting with the kids. They thought they were being fair to all of them, but they clearly weren't. And so are there other ways to understand the past? And for me and for her, I think the way to understand the past is your parents were wrong. If your parents sent the message that your two siblings are more important to you than you, they weren't right about that. That wasn't the right message to send. And so are there other ways to understand the past? And then the last thing is, how do I remind myself of these other things when I'm getting triggered? When this lady's feeling like her siblings are better than her, how does she remind herself that this situation isn't what she thinks it is? Or if, you know, the person I was talking about a few minutes ago, if they start feeling like they're being lazy or they start hearing voices in their head telling them they're lazy, how do they remind themselves that they actually work really hard? See, look, at the end of the day for me, it's not necessarily what we go through. It's how we make sense of what we go through. You and I could go through the exact same childhood, and depending on how you make sense of it and how I make sense of it, we could end up in very, very different places. Maybe you go through childhood just thinking that basically things are good and they're always going to be good. And I go through childhood thinking things are bad and they're always going to be bad. We're going to have very different sort of outcomes. And so to me, it's not what you go through. It's how you make sense of the things you're going through. And that's what we want to get better on. That's where we want to make tweaks. That's where we want to make changes. So that's it for me. That's it for this episode. Hopefully next week I'll be feeling better and I can drop some significant wisdom on you or something along those lines. Until then, be sure to check me out on Instagram and Facebook at Into The Fix. If you got any questions, DM me. If you have any general sort of questions like, hey, Dr. Ward, what's your thoughts on whatever? DM me. I'll answer it. Believe me, I'll answer it. Also, if you happen to be in the Pittsburgh area, I have a private pay practice. I'm open in Sewickley. Information can be found at andrewwardphd.com. This is Dr. Ward. I'll talk to you again next time.